Welcome to the Sports Psychology Podcast with Michael Seely. Tour de France, stage 14, Saint-Étienne-du-Mont de France, 190 kilometers, 100 degree temperatures today in the Massif Central in France. Brutal up and down hills, no major climbs today, maximum climb of 3 kilometers at about 10% grade at the finish, so pretty brutal there, but no mountains. Most climbs are about 1 kilometer to 3 kilometers in length. Nevertheless, not an easy stage. These are the kinds of stages on the Massif Central before they get to the Pyrenees, where typically breakaways will form, opportune breakaways, not the leaders. The leaders are content to kind of relax a bit and prepare for the mountains. Some of the lesser known riders will try to get some glory and break away, just like yesterday. So that looked like that's what was going to happen today. And indeed, after about 10 kilometers, we have a breakaway of about 30 riders forming. So basically, it looked like kind of a formula where the peloton was going to let this breakaway go. But surprise, surprise, Pogacar attacks and makes his way into that 30-man breakaway with Wout van Aert, who is the teammate of Jonas Vingegaard, who's in the yellow jersey. Curious. So at that point, you see Jonas Vingegaard kind of freak out and go, what the hell is going on? I'm already 20 seconds behind Pogacar. Let me bridge up by myself to this breakaway. You rarely see a protected leader like that have to do work by himself to kind of save himself. So that was really interesting. Vingegaard's team was asleep at the wheel, really. They should have been on Pogacar like glue, but Pogacar, he likes to attack. That's his style. And I think he likes inflicting kind of psychological damage on Vingegaard. There really not a lot of strategy there about attacking after just 10 kilometers into a race. Like, there's no way that that breakaway would have gotten away. At this point, this 30-man breakaway kind of settles down for a sec, and then Pogacar attacks again. This time, he is covered by Jumbo-Visma. They are on him like glue, and they are earning their pay, and they're doing a good job protecting the leader. Now, at this point, what happens is they realize that they don't want to be doing all that work, and so the breakaway basically gets caught. And a new breakaway forms, and we have Michael Matthews, the eventual winner, up in that breakaway. And this breakaway gets 13 minutes on the main peloton. This is the strategy, is that the two main teams, Emirates and Jumbo-Visma, basically want their leaders to relax. They want the team members to relax and save their strength for the Pyrenees, which is coming up. And that's what was going on there. I think it got up to about 15 minutes maximum on the group. And so they kept that breakaway at about 15 minutes, making sure that it didn't get too far up the road. So the breakaway starts to whittle down to about 4 at this point, and Michael Matthews is the main engine, attacking, being very aggressive. And Matthews attacks, and the final climb is about 2.5 kilometers to go and 10% grade. And he and another rider, Bettiol of Italy, break away. And it looks like Bettiol is going to win. But then Matthews counterattacks Bettiol, gets away solo, and coasts into the finish alone. So Matthews wins today. Big win for him. Now, mind you, 13 minutes behind is the Pogacar-Vingegaard group, and they are coming into the finish line, coming up this long slugging grade. And naturally, what happens now is that Jumbo-Visma and Emirates start setting the pace. This makes sense because they want to set the pace high, see Pogacar or Vingegaard can maybe attack each other, catch each other either in a bad position or just test each other to see who's got the better fitness. So with about 2 kilometers to go, you have Pogacar attacking, naturally. And Vingegaard goes right with him, and the two of them get plenty of distance on the rest of what's remaining of that main group. And they are coming into the finish line. Now, I think they're going for about 5th place. And like, it doesn't make sense, but Pogacar sprints pretty hard just to make sure that he comes in ahead of Jonas Vingegaard. Now, I've talked about this before, but the psychology behind Pogacar is that he loves to attack. It's kind of in his DNA. So I think he doesn't really even feel good if he doesn't attack, if he doesn't put Vingegaard on the defensive. So that's a personality trait. Now, whether that's to his detriment or not, we'll see later on in the tour. If Pogacar is burning a lot of matches, wasting a lot of energy, it's going to come back to haunt him. The real question is, are these attacks from Pogacar having an effect on Vingegaard? Is it messing with his head? Is it demoralizing him? And I really don't think so. I think Pogacar underestimates Jonas Vingegaard. I think that Pogacar needs to chill out, he needs to relax, and he needs to be a little bit more flexible in his psychology. Now, it also could be that Pogacar is just so darn talented that it doesn't matter. Another way to look at it is it's actually harder for people to go against their personality style, and it actually creates some anxiety, wastes energy, it's really difficult for them. So I think that it's just maybe even better for Pogacar to express himself in this way. As long as he doesn't overdo it, I think he really enjoys, gets more confidence from messing with Vingegaard. I think he just likes it. And then again, the question is, does that even affect Vingegaard at all? I don't think so. So that is it for today's stage. We don't really see much change in the general classification. We still have Jonas Vingegaard in first place, 2 minutes, 22 seconds over Tadej Pogacar, followed by Geraint Thomas at 2:43, followed by Romain Bardet at 3:03, followed by Adam Yates at 4 minutes, 6 seconds. So we will see what happens tomorrow. It's going to be another day on the Massif Central. Same style of racing, very, very hot weather up and down hills. I would predict there's going to be some hijinks with Pogacar again.